We welcome you to worship at College Park. We're so excited. The choir is going to join us in just a minute. A few announcements as we get started in worship. We'd like to find out who is here today. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside out of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, check the appropriate boxes, give us contact information if you choose, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We certainly appreciate that, members and guests helping us out with that. Once it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it got started, that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for helping us with that. A couple of announcements I'll draw your attention to. Many of these are listed in upcoming events and opportunities for the week. No children's time today. There is communion, and we will be focusing on that, so there will be no children's time during worship today. Also, we continue in our summer Bible study, Fielder's Choice. Bible study is at 6:30 this week, and then ice cream follows that. So we hope that those who are able to be here will be a part of that. Let's see. Grief support. You guys will be meeting next Sunday at 3 o'clock. So make note of that. Also, next Sunday is our end of the summer pool party from 4 until 7. We've been working out Town and Country. It's at Town and Country today. The event's not today, but today is scheduled for next week at Town and Country from 4 until 7. This is an event for the entire church to come out. We provide hamburgers and hot dogs. Those who are able, we invite you to bring either dessert or side dish to share. That will be next Sunday from 4 until 7. Also, school year is about to begin in just a couple of weeks. And with that comes the picking of our prayer partners. All of the children, youth, and college students in our church have an adult prayer partner that develops a relationship with them, prays for them on a regular basis. Typically, that happens. You pick your prayer partner on the day our service of affirmation, which this year is going to be on August the 25th. If you would like to keep your prayer partner, not necessarily at your house, but if you want to keep them as your prayer partner for this year, that's fine. Let me know. Send me an email, leave me a voicemail, give me a call, and let me know so that I can make sure their name does not go into the hat for the picking of those prayer partners. Other things are listed there, including the women's retreat that's coming. The deadline's coming up very quickly. There are other things listed. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We're very blessed to have you be a part of worship today. If you're a guest, we'd like for you to just raise your hand where you are. Our ushers will come back down the aisles now, and they will give you a packet of information. So just raise that hand, and you'll get a packet. And inside this packet, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. Also, a little bit of the story or the history of College Park, and a letter from our pastor welcoming you to worship. So thank you so much for being a part of worship today. It's hard to believe it's the first Sunday of August. Where did the summer go? I know that the youth and the kids like to eke out every single second of summer. And don't we do the same thing about our vacation? We try to get every single second out before it's just gone. We try to enjoy every moment. This morning, will you enjoy every moment of worship? Every prayer? Every time in God's presence? Let's eke out every second that we have with Him. Because in His presence, we make sense. And only in His presence. So let us enjoy every moment in worship. Thank you. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning we lift our voices and our lives to your throne of grace. We want to be in worship. We want to see you in your splendor and in your glory. Help us this morning to see you for who you are, what you have done for us. At the cross, we see how much you love us. And at the empty tomb, we see how much you want to be with us. Remind us, while you're in this place, remind us, it all begins and ends with you. Speak to us. Let us be near you, we pray, in Jesus' name.
I invite you to go with me to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, we love the words that we've just sung. Glory to his name, glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. We are here to glorify you and to lift up and praise your holy name and to thank you for the unmatchable gift that you gave us through Jesus Christ our Savior. We thank you, Father God, for looking down upon us with great mercy and compassion and providing a way for us to come to you that we might not only be cleansed and purified in thy sight, but have a very personal and intimate relationship with the Creator of the universe. How we thank you and praise your name for providing a way for us to come to you. We thank our Lord and Savior for that wonderful gift. Father, we just come now as a church body, praising you, thanking you, but also beseeching your help. We ask that you help each one of us in our path of life as we seek to do your will. Those distractions keep coming day after day, and you keep calling to us gently but firmly, come to you, to come to you. So today we come to you, and we pray that we will also do that all through this week, that we will bring ourselves before your powerful throne, and that we will humble ourselves and bask in your love, bask in your presence, receive that forgiveness, receive that peace that is ours in Christ, that your love may cover us as a blanket and assure us that you are walking with us in every circumstance. We face many challenges in our families and lives and church and as we all seek to serve you, but you are there, comforting and strengthening and giving wisdom. We thank you for that. We lift up to you all those who would love to be here on this day, and we pray that you would minister to them with your holy hand of love. May they sense our prayers for them and know of our great love for them. But Father, may you minister where we can't reach and where we can't go. Reach down to the families and the caretakers and all those who would love to be here. And Lord, we thank you for all of the joys that you've given us this week. We thank you for all the blessings. We just want to praise you forever. Now bless us as we continue to worship and prepare to come before your table and to share the elements that represent your great sacrifice through your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is it not a beautiful day outside today? Let's go to the Lord and thank Him for that. Dear God, we come to You this morning with joy in our hearts. Father, we praise You as the creator of life, as the giver of every good and perfect gift, as the worker of miracles. We praise You as Lord God Almighty, our sovereign and holy God. Father, we thank You for Your endless flow of blessings. Father, help us to be generous as we give back to You a portion of what You have given to us. And Lord, give us wisdom to use these gifts in accordance with Your holy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mornings, that when we sing, we're joining creation, all of God's creation singing along. I don't know if you have listened to this amazing bird singing the entire time during the offertory and matching it at times note for note. We join with God's creation in worshiping Him this morning. And I think sometimes we forget what a privilege that is, and that what we're doing is what is taking place in heaven over and over and over, and it never gets old. We're going to sing the doxology. We sing it week after week, but I hope for you it never, ever gets old, because we are worshiping our God. Join me in singing.
for churches who use the Revised Common Lectionary, of which we are one for the most part. We kind of follow the Revised Common Lectionary, and I've told you about that in the past, except for times where there's a special emphasis or the seasonal emphasis or something along that line, or I just decide that there's something really that God's laid on my heart I need to preach on that Sunday. Generally, we follow the Revised Common Lectionary, and it's for churches who use the RCL, the Revised Common Lectionary, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 occurs twice in the lectionary cycle, which is kind of unique to that passage of Scripture. It occurs in year A, or the first year in the cycle, on Easter Sunday. On Easter Sunday, verses 1 through 4 of Colossians 3 appears, and it also appears in today's passage, which, in case you're wondering, this is the 11th Sunday after Pentecost in year C, okay? So you can write that down on your notes, that this is the 11th day after Pentecost of year C. So these first four verses of Colossians chapter 3 occur twice in the lectionary, while verses 4 through 11 are used on this particular Sunday, but not on Easter Sunday of year 1. And that this kind of lectionary happenstance reminds us that it's about context. When we're reading Scripture, we should be reading Scripture in context. We also, when we gather for worship, we should be reading Scripture within context. It's vital to understand that. And I know you've heard me say that, but that's one of my pet peeves. This passage of Scripture, for example, offers us a very lofty view of what God can do for God's people in Christ. And when the writer writes, "If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above," we get this sense that we're not only going to be inspired, but we're also going to be encouraged to be those that God has lifted us to be. Yet the part of our text not used on Easter Sunday, the latter part of our text for today, addresses a darker side of human life that the resurrection overcomes, those things that we need God's help to overcome. So our lesson, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, implies kind of a good news, bad news, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Let me read you the passage, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Now here's the next kind of section of it. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Then he gives us some examples in case you need those. You've got sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. Then he gives you some more examples. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. He goes on. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. From this text, as I was reading through the passage and as I was doing a little study in this week, I kind of came up with one of these good news, bad news. Kind of good news, bad news, and how the author turns that from good news, bad news into good news can be good news with God's help. But as I was thinking about good news, bad news scenarios, I couldn't help it. My mind went back to Hee Haw. How many of you remember the show Hee Haw? Yeah. It was on every Saturday night at my house at 7 o'clock. And I kept wondering. I said, the music really is not that good. And it took me until I was about 11 years old to figure out, Dad may not be watching it just for the music. You know, and it was called a variety show, but there did seem to be a whole lot of variety to me. But anyway, in the show, they have these typical cornfield scenarios. Remember those where they'd stand up in the cornfield and music would play and they'd have kind of this interchange between. And I remember one scenario between, I think it was Archie Campbell and Roy Clark, but Buck Owens could have been in there or Junior Samp. I don't remember. But in my mind, I remember it as Archie Campbell and Roy Clark. So we'll, for the sake of argument, we'll say that's what it was. And the interchange was one of those classic good news, bad news. And I've heard this joke since then, but this was the first time I remember it from these gentlemen. And it went kind of like this. It was, "Hey, Roy, you know, I heard you made your first solo flight on Monday. That's great news." Roy says, "No, it wasn't great news because both engines failed." And Archie said, "Oh, that's terrible news." And Roy said, "No, that wasn't so bad because I had a parachute." "Oh, well, that's good news." "No, it wasn't such good news because the parachute didn't open." "Oh, that's terrible news." "No, that wasn't so bad. I had an emergency chute." "Well, good. That's fantastic." "No, the emergency chute didn't open either." "Oh, that's terrible." "No, it really wasn't all that bad because I ended up falling straight toward this haystack." "Oh, my. Well, that's good news." "No, it really wasn't good news because I could see it as it got closer and there was a pitchfork sticking up the wrong way in the haystack." He goes, "Oh, no, that's terrible." He said, "No, not really, because I missed the pitchfork." He said, "Well, now that's fantastic." He said, "No, because I missed the haystack too." You know, I mean, it's kind of one of those, you know, and I know I was an impressionable age, so, you know, it's hard to get those images out of my mind. But we have a lot of these kind of good news, bad news kind of jokes. And within life sometimes, we almost have to laugh at ourselves, don't we? We have to laugh at our circumstances because otherwise they could seem overwhelming. But that kind of joke, that type of scenario suggests a deeper truth in life, and that is, you know, there's usually more than meets the eye, isn't there? And things generally aren't as bad as we sometimes think they are. It's about perspective. And with our text today, the same kind of thing is going on. You've got the writer who much of scholarship believes it was Paul, maybe in his later years. Some say, well, it may not have been Paul, but it was certainly someone of the Pauline school, But we certainly believe that this is God's inspired word. So whether it was Paul or one of his students, you know, you've got this thought that the abundance, Colossians is talking about the abundance of Christ for those who have him in their lives. In chapter 2, the writer offers appropriate warnings in regard to those who might condemn others who received Christ, especially in matters of food and drink and observing festivals. The author also warns against philosophy and empty deceit in chapter 2. And then in the last part of chapter 2, verses 20 through 23, the author begins to set the context for the triumphant theology of the first four verses that we read a few minutes ago. What we would call, if we're going good news, bad news, that's the good news. This is what Christ has done. The triumphant theology pertains to new life in Christ, new life with Christ. And the writer urges readers to seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are above. Let your mind go to the things that are above. In our daily walk, with all the choices we have to make, seek the higher things, seek the heavenly things. Additionally, the first part of the lesson reminds us that where Christ is, there will be glory. We use that term perhaps a little too casually. Because if it says where Christ is, there will be glory, I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around that word all of a sudden. What is glory like? If that's where Christ is, and there will be glory. What is that like? Yet we all know that to lead a new life, to be with Christ, to be in Christ, there's an implication there. If you're leading a new life, then that means you have left an old way of life. And that's what the writer describes for us. What it means to leave an old life and enter into a new relationship with Jesus Christ. But to change, there's an inherent risk there. Even if there's a promise of what the new life is like, because change from a distance sounds glorious. Change sounds fantastic, but when it hits us straight in the face, sometimes change can be difficult. If you don't believe me, ask a Baptist church. Change sometimes can be tough. even if we know in our hearts and our minds that it's necessary and good, change can be tough. And Colossians calls us here to be something new, to be something better. The writer tells us that once we did certain bad or evil things and begins to outline, in case you're wondering, here's what I'm talking about, okay? And outlines those things for us. But he says, now you must get rid of those things. You must get rid of those things. Changing ourselves can be difficult because of the habits, the circumstances in which we were shaped, whether those were self-imposed, which often they are, or whether we are a victim of our circumstances, which are really of no fault of our own. The writer would say, change them. Change them. Recognize, repent, and change. But let me suggest something. Instead of trying to change them ourselves, do you remember last week we talked about prayer, right? Remember that? And the thought I hope that you took away from that, we preachers all hope that you do take something away. The thought that I hope that you took away from that is that prayer is about aligning our will to God's will. Aligning our will with God's will. And as we think about being a new creation in Christ, as we think about the change that needs to take place in us, let me challenge you. Instead of trying to do that under your own power, instead focus on aligning your will to God's. And then allow Him to show you those things that need to be changed. And then allow Him to change, to touch that part of our life, that part of our heart that needs to be changed. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, through God's power, that change can take place. Doesn't that sound a whole lot simpler than trying to do it under your own strength? I'll tell you, if you do it under your own strength, you're destined to fail. It will be temporary at best. But when we change under the strength of God's Spirit, when we claim the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and change through the power of the Holy Spirit, that change will be brought about and God will receive the glory, not us. Many pastors, including myself, know and minister to people who lived during the Great Depression of the 30s. And it's interesting, if you'll talk with someone who lived through that time and then you ask them, well, how about these last few years we've been going through? They're pretty tough, too. They'll laugh at you. They'll laugh at you. I've talked with my daddy about the Depression. He lived through it. He said, what we're experiencing now, it's laughable to even compare it in the same sentence. Shouldn't even be in the same book. He said, because now, even in worse times in 21st century, there's still food, there's still clothing, there's still money. And in the Depression, there was... those things were, to say they were in short supply is a gross understatement. And people react differently sometimes when they go from having nothing to having ample. I read a story of a Louisiana pastor who told about two individuals named Tom and Bill. Tom and Bill both lived through the Depression. They were both dirt poor as children. Each of these individuals became successful through hard work and diligence. They became successful in business and were quite wealthy. Bill was generous to a fault. He would give vast quantities, time, money, anybody that needed anything. He was so thankful for what he had been given. He would give it all away if he could. Tom, not so. Tom was unreasonably frugal. That's a nice way to say stingy. Tom was stingy. And he wouldn't give anything to anybody, period. You see, Tom could not adjust to being a person of means while Bill adjusted quite well. With God's grace, adjusted quite well. And it reminded me that even when God blesses a person, not just in terms of financial means, but in terms of spiritual wealth, family, relationships, all of these things, when God blesses a person, we must change to meet a new situation. Change is not avoidable. It's inevitable. Life changes constantly. It's how we adjust to those changes that reflects the nature of our relationship with our Creator. See, that's the secret. For some, this is an easy transition. For others, it's more difficult. And as the skit demonstrated, the exchange on Hee Haw, you know, sometimes there's a lot more than meets the eye. Sometimes we really need God's help. We need God's Spirit to interpret our circumstances and see beyond what appears to be obvious, but may not be. Change is tough, but it's also a blessing. Change is a blessing. And it's change that is celebrated in the ordinances of our church. When we talk about baptism, when we talk about communion, baptism. In our baptism, we publicly associate ourselves with the baptism of Jesus Christ and his act of submission to his Father's will. And in our baptism, we are submitting ourselves to Jesus. We are identifying with Jesus, with his death and resurrection, dying to self, raised to walk in newness of life. That's what baptism represents. It's a reflection of the change that has already taken place in our heart. And as we go to the Lord's table in communion, our focus should be similar. Remembering the faithfulness of our Savior as he aligned his will to the Father's and was obedient even to death, even though he was dying the death of an innocent man and he knew he was innocent. He took on our sins so that we would be truly changed in our relationship to God. Truly changed in our relationship to one another. That's a beautiful thing. That is certainly something worth celebrating. So communion is an act of celebration. It is an act of fellowship, but it's also an act of celebration. And as we go to the Lord's table, let me give you some practical instructions. We at College Park practice open communion. What that means is if you're a believer, we invite you to share with us. Whether you're a church member or not, we invite you to share with us as a believer, a fellow believer. And as you share communion, truly share, you know, hold something as simple as holding the plate for your neighbor. It's something where you jointly do something together rather than just kind of pass it through and everybody takes their own. Use it as a time, at least with eye contact and body language, maybe a quiet word spoken, to encourage one another. I believe that's the nature of what this meal is about, to commune with God, to recognize the sacrifice of our Savior, and to commune with one another. Let's do that as we celebrate together. Wow, you talk about change. When Jesus met with the disciples on that day we call the Last Supper, on that evening, their world was about to change. Their world was about to get rocked. They didn't know it. They didn't know what was coming. They had no concept of how much their life was about to change. But Jesus knew it, and he provided for them. He provided what they would need. And he took the bread, and as he broke it, he said, "This is my body." Maybe they got the significance then, but certainly in hindsight, they began to really understand the nature of his sacrifice for them. My prayer is that we would understand the nature of his sacrifice for us. Take and eat. And then he took the cup, and there was more change, because he was talking about a new covenant in his blood, a new covenant by his blood. I'm thankful for the new covenant. It's a new relationship with our Creator because of the sacrifice of his Son. He wanted them to know the relationship has changed and it's for your benefit. He wants us to know and acknowledge this morning the relationship has changed and it's for our benefit. A new covenant we celebrate. We know that as they left from there, they sang a song. It's a good time to remember. It's a good time to celebrate. So this morning, as we sing together, it's a time for you to celebrate. It's also a time for you to reflect. And as you sing, if you would like to make a decision in regard to your relationship with Christ, to receive Him as your Lord and Savior, or maybe to recommit yourself to living with lined up with God's will, more attuned to what He would have for you to live each day, to where you can reflect the changes that are taking place. Or maybe you're here and you say, well, I'd really like to be a part of this congregation in a, quote, official capacity. We receive members in a lot of different ways. I'd be glad to talk with you. If you'd like to make that decision public while we're singing, come see me. We'll talk about it, pray about it. But certainly you can do business with God right where you are. And then if you'd like to share with me later, that's your option. But take as you sing the song, rather than just kind of rote going through the words, use the words as a time to recommit yourself to Christ. Let's stand and sing together now. Let me share with you a word of celebration. Our brother in Christ, Marvin Murphy, celebrated around the throne this morning. He passed on into glory this weekend. And so we will come together on Wednesday afternoon at 1 o'clock here in the sanctuary to celebrate his life and to worship God who gives us life. Following the worship service, there will be a time where you can greet Marie and the rest of the family following the service in Smith Hall. But please be in prayer for them this week. They'll have a lot of things that need to get done. You understand that, and there will be grief to work through. But as a believer, we know this is not the end of anything. We understand all of that, but we still want to encourage those who've lost loved ones. Amen. So be a source of encouragement to Marie and her family. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, it truly is a blessing to be in your house. Father, we thank you for the chance to worship. We thank you for the time to celebrate and to remember. Father, as we leave from here, help us to remember that we truly have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit that walks with us and guides us and gives us strength. Father, help us to live like that and to give you the praise and the glory for who you are and how you've changed us. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.